الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, in this world people travel locally, abroad, to various places for various reasons. Some people travel in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah. There are those who go out and pass on the message of Islam, da'wah ilallah. There are those who go and seek knowledge, and they travel to distant places to learn Quran, hadith, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who go out to earn a livelihood because of restraints, constraints. Sometimes a person is forced to go out to seek a livelihood. And then there are people who move from town to town, not because they want to move from town to town. They have been forced out of their homes because their homes have been bombarded by savages. People who have no mercy in their hearts for humanity. People who take enjoyment and pleasure in raping innocent women, massacring, killing innocent children, bombing all their homes. What do they get? What thrill do they enjoy? Unfortunately, thousands of refugees of the past 5 to 6 years were forced to abandon their homes. At this very moment, while we are sitting so comfortably, thousands of them are moving from one village to another village to another village. They are traveling. They are walking. They've got no food. They've got no water. They've got no shelter. They've got no protection. The whole world just stands and just watches. People will write articles. People will take photographs of innocent yatim, innocent children, with their face spilled with blood, with broken arms, broken limbs of their body. My respected brothers and elders, at this very moment, let us make dua for Muslim brothers and sisters in Syria. Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the conditions for the better. May Allah Ta'ala bless them with hifazat and afiyat. May Allah send His divine help and nusrat upon them. And whoever else is suffering, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are those people who are forced out of their homes and they travel. So they are travelers moving from town to town. They are refugees. And then there are those who are traveling on a vacation, like many people are doing so currently, to take a break, as we say, to give their bodies and minds a rest. And of course, whilst this is permissible in Sharia, but Sharia never condones breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst a person is taking a break. In Arabic, the word is ijmam. And what is ijmam? Ijmam is when a person takes some hours of break, some days of rest, mental rest, physical rest. And the reason for this is so that the person, after gaining a rest, may gain some strength to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. That is the purpose. The purpose of a vacation, a holiday, is not that we become so tired in the holiday that in reality we need a holiday after a holiday. Person had a break, he comes back home, he says, "I'm so tired." So this is not the purpose of a vacation. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned a poem, Taghrab anil awtani. في طلب العلا سافر ففي الأسفار خمس فوائد. He says that a person comes out of his home and he embarks on a journey. Like some person goes in the path of Allah, some person goes in da'wah, some person goes for hajj, some person goes for umrah. He says there are five benefits in a journey. Tafriju hammin. And the very first one he has mentioned is, a person is undergoing stress. So now he requires to de-stress himself. And that is why a person undergoes some type of holiday, as we say, a vacation, a period where he will gain some strength. After taking a break, he de-stresses himself. Perhaps it was a very heavy financial year for him. Students wrote examination. People are tired. For a few days, a person requires tafreej of his hum. Hum means worry, anxiety, the grief, some pain that he was suffering. Now he takes a bit of relaxation and he finds himself in high spirits thereafter. Waqtisabu ma'isha. As I mentioned, sometimes a person leaves his home to seek livelihood. So sometimes on a journey, a person can even do some business and he gains some profit. And then he says, وَعِلْمٍ وَآدَابٍ. A person goes out seeking knowledge. He seeks mannerisms, etiquettes, by interacting with different types of people. We learn of the cultures of others. We learn good mannerisms. We ourselves, we display the mannerisms, the teachings of Islam. وَصُحْبَةُ مَاجِدٍ. And very importantly, he says when a person travels, then he will gain the company of those who are righteous and pious. So when we embark on a journey, and as I mentioned, this is the time of the year where many people embark on a journey, either it is for Umrah, or either it is in the path of Allah, or either the person is going with his family for a little break. And therefore I find it important to discuss a few etiquettes, a few important principles of safar, of embarking on a journey. The very first thing a person should do is check his intention. What am I going for? This journey that the person undergoes with his family, even if it is going for a holiday, and of course to such places where Shariat has allowed, permitted. We're not talking about a journey in which a person is going to gamble or going to haram places. We're talking about a pure halal journey that the person undertakes. He should check his intention again, remind himself it should be solely for the pleasure of Allah. And if he has this correct intention, he will be rewarded every step of his journey. And then of course it is important, sometimes the person does not go with his family. We have youngsters who are not married, and perhaps they're not going with their parents, but they're going with their friends. In Arabic there's a proverb that says, "Utlubul jar qabla dar wa rafiq qabla tariq." And before you purchase your house, check who's the neighbor. You may build a beautiful mansion, but if the neighbors are going to be troublesome and they're going to hurt you and persecute you and harm you and make a big din and noise and disturb you, then rather you don't purchase that home. Look for another home where you have good neighbors. You know, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, his neighbor was a Jew. And this Jewish person was selling his house. He put his house on for sale. And some person came forward ready to purchase the house. And this Jewish person had doubled the price of the house. So this person says, this is not the market value of the homes in this area. Why are you charging me such an exorbitant price? He says, one is I'm charging you for the house, the value of the house. For example, if it is 200,000 rand. And he says, another 200,000 is to be able to be the neighbor of Imam Abu Hanifa, to have a neighbor like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. The Jewish person understood and he valued the neighborhood of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. What a kind person he was. What a compassionate person he was. So nonetheless, when your person is traveling, he should ensure he has good friends. وَالرَّفِيقَ قَبْلَ الطَّرِيقِ. Your comrades, the people who you're traveling on a journey, should be good people. Friends who will remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Friends who will be mindful of salah, the etiquettes, the mannerisms, they will display good moral values, akhlaq. What is the meaning of safar in Arabic? The word safar, seen, fara. In Arabic means ما يسفر عن أخلاق الرجال. When a person undergoes a journey, what happens? The character of those people traveling with him, his companions, become unveiled. Safar means to unveil the person. So when a person is traveling, then you see the true colors of that person who you thought was your friend, at whom you didn't realize his character. But when you are traveling, then you see the true friendship of a person. Is he there to help you, to assist you? Is he a person who is Allah conscious? Or is he one who is taking you away towards evil and filth and haram? So therefore, check our intention. Do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choose correct people whilst we are traveling. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yuhibbu an yakhruja yawm al-khamis. He would love to embark on a journey on a Thursday. It is not compulsory, but it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we are able to travel and come out on a journey on a Thursday, then we also fulfilling a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would embark on a journey in the early hours of the morning, fi awwal an-nahar. There is great wisdom behind this. It is such a time when a person has got energy. He has a good night's rest. He's now awake. He won't fall off asleep while driving. And especially if the weather is good, it's not so bright in the morning, not so hot. So he will reach his destination easily. And he had mentioned, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, grant barakah for my ummah in the early hours of the morning of my ummah. So every day, the early hours after Fajr, these are hours not to go and back to bed and sleep, but these are hours where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually made dua for his ummah to gain barakah in those hours of the morning. So Sakhr bin Wada'a radiyallahu tala'an, he used to send his caravans for trade early hours of the morning. And he would see the benefit of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they would come back very prosperous, gaining huge amounts of profit. وَكَثُرَ مَالُهُ His wealth gained in abundance. He got plentiful of wealth, he became very rich. Why? Because he understood the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, when we're traveling, try and travel early hours of the morning. When we are traveling, we should not travel alone. The riwayat of Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that if only the people understand and know, يَوْأَنَ النَّاسِ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا عَلَمُوا مِنَ الْوَحْدَةِ مَا سَارَ رَاكِبٌ بِلَيْلٍ وَحْدَةِ If only a person understands the harms of traveling alone, a traveler will never travel alone. He says, I know those harms. Allah has informed me of the harm of a person traveling all alone. And we see in today's time, when a person is traveling alone, what harms, what risks they are. Therefore, Rasulullah has mentioned that a person should have company while traveling. And the best is, at least the minimum, there should be three people traveling together. And when we have three people or more, then appoint one person as the Amir. And this is again great wisdom. We don't have time to explain the wisdom of this. When we have an Amir, then matters become easy. Otherwise, we'll have differences of opinion and no solution while traveling. If there is some problem, and each person will give his opinion, and each person will be adamant and stick to his opinion, then we will have problems on journey. But you have an Amir, and you make mashwara, then the Amir's decision will be final, and inshallah there will be khair in that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the sunnah and etiquettes he has mentioned to us, and the guidelines while traveling, that do not travel alone, travel at least three or more, and then we have an Amir. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us beautiful du'as. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to mount his camel, of course today, we are not traveling by camels. Allah ta'ala, out of his kindness, has given man intellect. Allah has given us skill. Allah has given us power and strength. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْإِنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ In Surah Zukhruf, in the 25th Juz, verse number 11-12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Allah has given man power, and Allah has given us the ability to sail ships. and ride camels. In other words, various types of transport. We have modes of transport. We have cars, we have the aeroplane, and we have jets today. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to mount his animal, the very first thing he would say, Bismillah. Then he would say, Alhamdulillah. Then he would recite this ayat which I mentioned in the beginning, Subhanalladhi. Simple translation in English, glory be to Allah. But believe me, brothers, it does not give the true translation. Subhanalladhi, as I mentioned previously, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every and any type of fault, shortcoming, deficiency. Allah is absolutely powerful and pure. Allah has got no defects, blemishes whatsoever. Allah is absolutely pure. So we are praising that Allah who is all pure. Subhanalladhi. Who is Allah? Sakhara lana hadha. Allah has subjugated these modes of transport for us. So whether it's a horse or camel, whether it's your car or an aeroplane, Allah has subjugated these modes of transport for us. Otherwise we will not be able to drive these and mount these vehicles. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِينِينَ We have no taqat, we have no power on our own. And Allah reminds us, just as you are traveling on a holiday, just as you're traveling to seek knowledge or rizq, or perhaps you're going to visit a friend. And this is also one important aspect of traveling. When we are traveling, then we're visiting family, friends. We're visiting people for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the riwayat of Muslim, there is a person, أَنَّ رَجُلًا زَارَ أَخًا لَهُ فِي قَرْيَةٍ A man visits his friend in a certain village. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is the purpose of this person's journey. But Allah wants to show us, Allah wants to illustrate to us the importance, the virtue, the blessings of meeting some brother of yours, some friend of yours, solely for the pleasure of Allah. The reason for this journey is not for any dunya motives, not to gain any worldly pleasures, not to gain any material benefits. So this man is journeying towards another village. فَأَرْسَدَهُ اللَّهُ مَلَكًا عَلَى مَدْرَجَتِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deputes an angel in the road of this, in the pathway of this person. So the angel comes in the form of a human being and stops him and asks him, where are you moving to? Where is your intention? Where are you moving to? He says, I'm going to visit a certain friend of mine. So the angel then questions him. هَلْ لَكَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تَرُبُّهَا عَلَيْهِ Is there any bounty, any favor that you have done to him? Perhaps you have lent him a goat or a horse and you are going to check that everything is okay, fine, the ni'mat that you have given him. You have lent him your car and you're going to check if everything is in order, it's maintained well. So you're going back to collect some favor perhaps. Is that your purpose? He says, no. I take a qasam in Allah. I'm going solely for the sake of Allah. It is my muhabbat for Allah. It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm going to visit him. Then the angel says, well, I'm the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inform you that just as you are going to meet him solely because you love Allah, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. So in one hadith it is mentioned, من عاد مريضا أو زار أخا له في الله ناداه مناد بأن طبت وطاب ممشاك وتبوأت من الجنة منزلا in the riwayat of Tirmidhi, that a person who goes and visits a sick person. So we're going on a journey, we're going for a holiday, but perhaps we know of some person who is sick. So go and visit that sick person. Or we're visiting a friend solely for the pleasure of Allah. Then an angel calls out, بأن طبت, you have done an excellent thing. An excellent deed. وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ Even your walking, your moving, your journey is very, very blessed in the eyes of Allah. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا And in fact, you have built yourself a home in paradise. Now look at the benefits of traveling, if we have the correct intention. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ You must Remember the favor of Allah, that Allah has given you these modes of transport to make your journey easy when you are traveling. So remember the ni'mat, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be unmindful of this ni'mat of Allah and think it is your ability and your skill and your power. No, no, no. Whilst you're on journey, do not become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he says, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And we are going to return to Allah. Ulama Mufassireen explain that whilst a person is going, undertaking a journey in this world for some worldly purpose or some deeny purpose, but you are traveling from place A to place B, you should not forget the ultimate journey and the arduous journey of dunya to akhirat. All of us should be reminded of ourselves that just as a person undertakes a journey, he makes sure he checks his oil, the petrol or diesel, checks the battery, he checks the pressure of the car, he makes sure he has taken his sufficient provisions on journey, and everything is in order. In a similar way, a person when he goes on a journey, and this journey that all of us are undertaking, every one of us, and this journey is the ultimate journey, and that is why we are placed in this world, and that is the journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should check the pressure of our nafs, check the oil of our spiritual heart, check the petrol that we have of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasten our seat belts. In other words, fasten ourselves, or fasten our nafs, and fasten shaitan. Don't become so tempted easily. This time of the year is known as a silly season. And so apt is the word silly season, where people actually behave silly. People begin to party. It's a time when people begin to booze, as they say. A person loses his morals. He does not behave properly. There's immodesty, immorality. People move around the streets in the beachfront in a very naked manner. As Muslims, do not become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst we are taking this break, let us be mindful of our salah. Salah on a safar is probably, as we say, half, of course, with the different masail, and not made maaf. Salah should not just become qada. Perform our salah with jamaat as far as possible. And not only ourselves, what about our children? Those who are baligh especially. Our wives. So all of us should take all these things in consideration, in cognizance. That we have to be absolutely mindful of our salah. Keep an observant eye on our kids. We give them some type of freedom. And we allow them to do as they wish, so that we may get a rest. What happens? In so many instances, this is the time, the silly season, when that innocent child of yours gets involved in some evil company, and because of some peer pressure, he begins to test and try some type of drug. And what happens? He becomes an addict. Your young daughter, who is your flesh, your blood, and during this season you allow her to dress so scantily, and everybody's roving eyes are thrown on her, their lustful glances are going upon her. How often it has happened that so many young girls became pregnant during this season? My respected brothers and elders, we all are aware of this. We are reminding ourselves that we are moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. So at all times we have to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not like our children have written examination, metric examination, and now he needs to just get some type of freedom. He's like a bird out of a cage, and let him do whatever he wishes and enjoy himself. Yes, enjoy yourself within the limits of Sharia. It's easy as that. Where's the haya? How often a person loses his modesty in these times? We talk about fitna and fasad. And therefore, whilst we are traveling, it will cost us absolutely nothing whilst you are driving. Read the surahs, revise the du'as. A musafir, whilst he is traveling, his du'a that he makes to Allah is accepted according to the hadith of Rasulullah. Du'a is maqbool. Read subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Instead of listening to some music in the car, then recite your surahs, duas, one subhanallah. If you read subhanallah, you will be hamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. These two words are most beloved to Allah. So easy, so light on the tongue, so heavy on the scales in the day of Qiyamah. Most beloved to Rahman, most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recite our dhikr, make our dhikr. And very important is whilst we are traveling, perhaps you go into some town, we are unaware of what is halal and haram. So don't be beguiled and deceived by just a halal sign. How often it happens, a person comes, and especially in the beachfront, the poor person comes from Johannesburg or Cape Town, and he sees halal written. My brothers, this halal sign has deceived many people. And remember that morsel of haram that enters your belly, the result of this is your dua will not be answered. The result of this, your ibadat will not be accepted. So let us be mindful of all these things. Man khafa adlaja, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah. That person who fears that he, when he is going to travel, and if he leaves very late at night, he will not reach his destination. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing those sahaba, especially in those countries where it is very hot, in those summer periods, and they should never travel during the day, they would prefer traveling at night, he would exhort them and encourage them to travel in the early hours of the evening, so that before midnight, before it becomes very dark, you will reach your destination. Man khafa adlaja, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil. If you do so, you will reach your destination with ease. In a similar vein, Rasulullah SAW is directing our attention. He's drawing our attention to the fact that this safar in the dunya towards the akhirah, all of us are musafireen. We all are traveling. And remember, this flight that we are embarking upon, or this journey that we are all undertaking, there is no cancellation of this flight. There is no cancellation of this journey. Perhaps in other matters of the dunya, we prepared our family for a vacation, for a holiday trip, and everything got cancelled last minute for whatever reason. But this journey towards the akhirah, every single one of us has already started this journey. And every one of us will end this journey. Therefore, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not procrastinate. If we are going to procrastinate in obeying Allah, then we won't reach our manzil, our destination, in the required manner. And Rasulullah says, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya." This merchandise, this commodity, this journey that we have embarked on to reach a goal, to win a prize, to attain something, that is very precious in the eyes of Allah. And what is that? "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah." And that is that paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, as he mounts the animal, he says, "Bismillah." Then Alhamdulillah, he recites ayat of the Quran in the 25th para that I recited. And then he will say, Alhamdulillah, three times. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, three times. Then Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi, faghfirli, innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Wallah, forgive my sins. There's nobody else who can forgive me besides you. Then he would smile. So his friends asked him, why are you smiling? He says, because I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting this dua on a journey and he also smiled. And when we question Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you smiling? Then he said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so pleased. Ya'jabullah. Allah admires that person when he makes his dua. And Allah says, this banda of mine, he realizes that there's nobody else besides myself who will be able to forgive his sins. So Allah becomes delighted with this person. And upon that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Very simple duas, but we can check in the dua kitabs. Time is already exhausted, but today is a public holiday. Just take a few minutes more. Allahumma hawwin alina hadha safar. Oh Allah, make this safar for ours easy. Watwi'anna bu'da. Ya Allah, make the distance become shorter. In other words, ulama have explained that, Ya Allah, normally it takes so long to reach it. Don't make me go through great difficulties and delays on this journey. Make me reach this journey or my destination very easily and swiftly. Make the journey be very swift and with ease. Allahumma hawwin alina hadha safar wa tu'anna bu'da. And very important, and this is the message I would like to pass on to you today. All those who will be traveling, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. Wallah, you are my companion on this journey. If you're traveling with your father, and your ustad, or your sheikh, and we know how the person behaves in front of his sheikh, so dutiful he is, and he will make sure he doesn't do anything wrong. Ya Allah, Rasulullah reminds us that Allah is with you on this journey. So you have this consciousness that Allah is my companion on this journey. Will a person ever do anything wrong? Will he become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore, this is what we should take as we are traveling. Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. And of course, we are worried sometimes at home, our family, our properties, our factories, our shops. Wal khalifatu fil ahl. Ya Allah, you are my khalifa. You are my vicegerent with regard to my family, my property. Oh Allah, I seek your protection. Min ka'abatil mandar. Wasu'il munqalab fil mali wal ahl. Ya Allah, as I'm traveling, Ya Allah, I'm asking you protection from the difficulties. Min wa'tha'i safar. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min wa'tha'i safar. Ya Allah, do not make me go through the difficulties and pain of journey. Wa ka'abatil mandar. And of such scenes that will make me dispirited. Accident scenes, you see bodies strewn on the road. Allah, protect us from accidents. Therefore, we should drive safely and carefully. And obey the laws of the country. Obey the laws, the traffic laws. Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, when he came, the very first visit in this country, then the person who was driving him along, Mufti Sahib observed very carefully that as this person comes to a stop street, and he watches, he stops, he looks to the right, looks to the left, he sees there's no cars, and he continues. And there were so many places where there was no traffic at all, there were no people, there were no cars. Despite that this person will still stop, and he will check on the right, he'll check on the left. Mufti Sahib asked him, but there's no cars, there's no people, why are you doing so? He says, Mufti Sahib, this is the qanun, this is the law of the country, the traffic law. So Mufti Sahib says, it's exactly like that. We should obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life. Where Allah wants us to stop, we should stop. Where we should continue, we continue. And the speed towards the akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has some speed for us. So وَكَأَبَتِ الْمَنْظَرِ وَسُوءِ الْمُنْقَلَبِ. And when we return, Allah, don't let us return in such a condition that we see loss in our property, loss in our business, loss in family. And therefore, in one hadith, Rasulullah would seek protection from min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. When a person gains increase in the love of Allah Ta'ala, in ta'at, he went for umrah, and he gained spiritually, or on his journey, he gained some material benefits. Allah, let it not happen when I come back, there's nuqsan, there's loss that I'm suffering. May Allah subhanahu give us tawfiq and hidayat to prepare for the real journey of the akhirat. Keep that in mind as we embark on different journeys people will go. Again, I will say, especially our youngsters, let us not become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we're interacting with people, display Islamic morals and character. Become a means of attraction for people embracing Islam. Let us not behave in a barbaric way. How often we'll get complaints that those youngsters were parading and those young girls were showing off their bodies in the beachfront and they were behaving in such a terrible manner and there was no salat and they were busy doing haram things. We are Muslims. This is our life. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive our faults. May Allah protect the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.